As we continue in worship this morning, we're here in Psalm 51 in the Old Testament. Hear these words. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in your right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this church, for ministries of the church, for a time of worship together, a community of faith seeking after you, that we might draw near one another to transform the world around us. So Lord, may that difference making begin here, and may it filter and channel to the world that we will return to in just a short time. May we be transformed by your grace and love. In your name we pray. Amen. We're living in challenging times. There's war and violence. There's hunger and poverty. There's discrimination and injustice. We turn on the local news or we read or we scroll and we see it over and over and over again. Now, I understand one might say times have always been challenging. There have always been wars, and there have always been poverty, and there's always been injustice. This is nothing new, or the first time that we've been in a time like this. But this is our challenging time. This is the time that we are in, not someone else, us. And we have to decide how we are going to move forward. Now, if you haven't learned by now, in a little over 4.5 years or 4 years, I'm a competitive person. And sometimes I get stuck in comparing myself to others. And I have a wife who's not as competitive as I, and she reminds me quite often, I don't care what others are doing or what others are, how they're, whatever it may be. Quit comparing yourself to others. So she reminds me quite often of that, and more recently, she's finally breaking into my hard, bald head, and I've decided to, more recently, not compare myself to others as much as I was, and instead, I've started comparing myself to myself, and I set goals for myself, not based on what someone else is doing, but based on how I want to be and perform. Because really, the only person I can be is myself. I can only be the best version of myself, not someone else's best version. In other words, I've learned to be the best JJ I can be and continually improve myself towards who I want to be and who I want this world to be, or what I want this world to look like. And so this is our moment. This is our challenging time. This is our time to decide how we are going to move forward with the ways that things currently are to be the best version of the world that we want it to be, that God created to be. Today's psalm caught my attention, and we read how David calls to God for personal transformation of heart. In response to maybe some sin that David committed, and you can read about that in 2 Samuel 12. And it's in this particular scripture, or my translation of the Bible here, as it heads into Psalm 51, it talks about a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him. And so in 2 Samuel 12, you can read about that. But here in this psalm, the scripture is a prayer for cleansing and forgiveness. David says, "Have mercy on me. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from my sin." In verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart." The psalmist is pleading with God for help, and at the same time acknowledging that they are falling short, and I've fallen short of living the way that God desires. In the psalmist's plea for forgiveness and transformation, we see what John Wesley calls renewing grace. Wesley affirmed that God's grace seeks nothing less than a new creation in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Dr. Jonathan Powers of Asbury Seminary says, "For John Wesley, renewal is not merely a superficial change, but a deep inner transformation that affects every aspect of one's life. This process, commonly understood as sanctification, is the work of the Holy Spirit in renewing our minds and hearts so that our behaviors and actions align with the character of Christ." He goes on to say that the Spirit works to restore the imago Dei, the image of God within us, an image that has been marred by sin. And as the Holy Spirit moves within the believer, the heart is softened, the mind is enlightened, and the will is empowered to live in accordance to God's will. I think that's what's taking place here in Psalm 51 as the psalmist, as David, pleads with God for cleansing and for forgiveness, that his heart would be softened, that his mind would be enlightened, that his will is empowered to live in accordance with God's will. At the heart of this renewal is the reordering of human love. The sin that corrupts not only our actions, but also our affections, leads us to love things in a way that are disordered and out of proportion. The renewal of the Holy Spirit addresses this distortion by transforming our love and our desires. It helps reorient us in the way that God desires for us. That when our primary love is God, all our other loves, whether people, possessions, and even ourselves, are ordered rightly. And as we look around the world, I think if we're going to move forward towards healing the world, then we need to continually be asking ourselves and asking God to guide and help us to reorient ourselves. That somehow we've maybe gotten out of order. Sometimes maybe we put ourselves and our desires before God and neighbor. Maybe we've lost our ability to notice the harm and the hurt that we're responsible for. And I think it's hard to move forward as a world, as a people, as the imago Dei that God created, until we understand how sometimes we add to the problem instead of helping with the solution. We sometimes focus our attention towards everyone else and their problems and issues, and we don't focus on ourselves. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Have mercy on me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse my sin. Transformation starts with comparing ourselves with ourselves and asking God to help us grow in love towards God and asking God to help us. It starts with the stopping of pointing fingers and the starting of joining hands. It starts with when we stop looking for the wrong in one another and we start looking for God's image in one another. We're created in God's image, and our destiny is to be restored to the fullness of that image. And when we are seeking this, it requires humility. It requires a desire to change our minds and the direction of our lives. We ask God to transform us. In order for the world to move from hurt to healing to hope, we have to draw near to others as well, to get to know their stories, to see that there's so much more that unites us than what divides us, to hear someone's story and to seek empathy and compassion so that we might have a renewed relationship, beginning in the heart. Somehow a clean heart. Today is, not sure, there's days all the time, right? You're like, it's National Donut Day, whatever it may be. But today is International Day of Peace, Peace Day. And since its founding 60 years ago, by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, they asserted that since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that the defenses of peace must be constructed. A culture, it goes on to say on their website, a culture of peace is a set of values, attitudes, traditions, and modes of behavior and ways of life. It's about shifting mindset and behavior in all aspects of our societies as we move from force to reason, from conflict and violence to dialogue and peace building, and embrace humanity's interconnectedness and inner oneness. It has become well established. It has become well established that the pathways to a peace culture are through local efforts and NGOs, that's nonprofits, that's churches, education, government, businesses, and environment that work together to better understand each other and create new possibilities. Happy Peace Day, y'all. Learning to live in peace and harmony is a long-term process and begins with the development of inner peace and nurturing attitudes that promote the expansion and integration of peaceful principles. I think that's why the psalmist this morning starts with seeking inner peace, an inner cleansing, an inner relationship with God, asking for forgiveness. The psalmist didn't start with, look at everyone else. But the psalmist started with comparing their heart to the desire of God. The last couple of verses 18 and 19, we see David, after he's pleaded with God for cleansing, forgiveness, turn from that personal plea for cleansing and forgiveness to the community. David turns his prayer towards the needs of Israel. He asks for grace and blessing on Jerusalem, that its people would live obediently before him, so that their offerings at the altar would reflect an inner reality of humbly seeking to please God. It started inward and moved outward in a desire to transform the world. Friends, may we look inward. May we look to God to transform our hearts. May we look within ourselves and ask God to show us how we can be part of healing the nation, healing the world. May it start with you and I. Not comparing ourselves to someone else, but comparing ourselves to the way that God desires. And then may our words and our actions be channels of healing so that the world might experience hope in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this opportunity to be together in this place, for the calling that you have for our life to love one another and to love you and to serve you. God, may we look to you for the example that you desire of how to do that. May you walk with us even as we fall short. As you forgive us, may we continually seek you and draw closer to you each and every day. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.